Thank you, Andrew. It's been so long since I've been up here, I forgot I had to have a wireless mic attached to me. And I had to go after the special number and get myself put together here, so. Psalm 96. Psalm 96 seemed a fitting one for our occasion this morning. As we're able to gather together once again, though limited and restricted, yet still we can come and gather and meet in the house of the Lord with those of like faith. And let me tell you, what a good thing seeing you is for my heart. Now, I know what some of you think about these pew restrictions that we have laid out there, but may I tell you, I think it's great. I have never seen our congregation scattered out and the auditorium filled up. That might just become a permanent thing after this COVID virus lays its head down and dies. It looks great. But it looks like we've got a multitude of people here, rather than just some way in the back. So anyway, Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. And that was a thought that was on my heart as I was anticipating our service today. We're going to be able to sing to the Lord. I know you could do that at home or in your shower, but to be able to sing together unto the Lord, that's why I was overwhelmed when I walked up on the platform here this morning. It just caught me by surprise, the singing. Our Lord, it's been a long time since he's heard us sing to his name. Bless his name, verse 2, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. That's little g, notice. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I hope you're doing that today. Worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. This world is topsy-turvy. But we know our Lord is still in control.
Amen.
The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved or shaken. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. I trust the Lord will bless your heart through the reading and the truth of this particular psalm. Jot that one down. Return to it a few times this week. Tremendous truth, exalting our Heavenly Father. Let's remain standing for prayer. Father, we do want to thank you for the privilege that's ours to come into your presence with singing. We thank you for this psalm that exalts your being and your character, your nature, your holiness, your might, your power. I thank you that through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can call you our God, and we can claim you as our Father when we have placed our trust in the salvation that Christ paid for by his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we have longed to gather like this. We have experienced it, but we have still have to talk to ourselves and convince ourselves, as unbelievable as it has been, we have witnessed it in these United States, that we have not been able to meet for, we missed 8 Sundays. Thank you that we're able to be here today. We thank you for the change of wording through the governor's executive order a week ago, which put peace to our minds that individuals who would attend a service or be driving to a service for worship would not be charged with a violation that would result in a misdemeanor. We thank you that that finally came. We pray that our gathering here today would not jeopardize the health of anyone. But Lord, it's not that our coming here would cause anybody to pick up the virus, because you are in control of everything. And so we just are committing ourselves to you as we have been doing these weeks, yes, a couple of months now. Our safety, our security is in you. We might take steps. We might follow guidelines, but all in all, it's up to you. And so we thank you again for this precious privilege that's ours to be here gathered in your name. And I ask, Lord, that your Spirit would really be in control, guide, lead in the message that I share this morning that seem to be the thing that ought to be shared. And I pray you would get the glory in it, and may each of us receive it as from you in the spirit with which it comes. We pray for those of our congregation that wish they could be here today. But we know there are some, because of age and or underlying issues of health concerns, they have been uncomfortable coming, and we do not fault them, Lord. We pray that you would continue to spare them from this virus and continue to work in their lives your will. And we pray as time passes, more and more of our folks may come to that place where they would feel comfortable gathering again. In the meantime, Meet their needs, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. You don't have to answer me on this question, but my question just for you to think about. How did you feel when you got up this morning, realizing that for the first time in 9 weeks, you were going to get to come to church?
Great.
Who would have ever thought what did happen could happen in our country? Never seen anything like it. And with cautious rejoicing, we are here today to praise, worship, and honor our God and Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the enablement of His blessed Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's.
Amen.
Amen.
How about praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
I know you're thinking you've gotten charismatic on this 2 months that we haven't been able to meet. No. It's all right. Praise the Lord.
A little charisma isn't bad.
What's that?
A little charisma isn't bad.
A little charisma isn't bad. Well, anyway.
Amen again.
We are pretty subdued in our worship, aren't we? How we long for this day to occur, how we've missed it. And I'm trusting that we can enjoy what we have today and starting as we let you know our plan is, at least through the month of May, our plan is one worship service a week. At the close of the month, the men of the board are going to be once again reconvening and talking, okay, what do you think? If we add more services, which ones should we at this time? But in the meantime, be thankful for what we have, right?
Amen.
Right. We have all, in our own way, under the roof of our own homes, discovered all these changes that are all around us. I shared my concern in a recent email to those of you that are on the prayer chain regarding our coming together. I shared my concern with the men of the board as we met last Monday night, making the decision that in light of the governor's recent wording changes, it would be okay for us to gather. But I still shared my concern with the men, and one said, well, why? My concern has to do with the landscape all around us here at the church. You're greeted at the door with someone who opens the door for you so you don't have to touch the handle. You're welcomed and asked to help yourself to a bulletin. But please make your way on into the auditorium so we don't have clusters of people gathering there in the hallway. You walked in and you saw you could sit where you like to sit, but that's my pew. And it's got one of those cards on it that says, this pew is vacant. We don't take offerings now, at least for the time being. We put offering baskets out. We have a sign on the nursery door, only parents and no child older than 3 years old in there. We have signs on both of the bathroom doors. Please limit no more than 2 in there at a time. The landscape around here has drastically changed. And that concerns me. That concerns me. I'd like you to listen to the words of a pastor in, don't know him. Somebody sent me this email. I liked some of what I read, and I just share this with you. Let me just read some quotes. If there is one word to describe how we must navigate reassimilation amid COVID-19, aren't you sick of that word, COVID-19? What is that word? It's grace. The vice president of a prominent seminary wrote these words, and he quotes, "Prediction, one of the most challenging aspects of the COVID-19 recovery will be disagreements over acceptable post-COVID social norms between family and friends." Hurt feelings will abound if we're not careful. Extend lots of grace. Everyone is different. Then the man who wrote this article said, "I believe one of the ways that the enemy will seek to divide our ranks within the church is by tempting us to use our opinions against each other. If the devil has his way, we'll be throwing stones of accusation from all sides, causing the cautious, calling the cautious people soft, labeling the optimists as being reckless." Perhaps some might ask, "Why did you share that with us, Pastor?" I'll try to explain. I know the tendency of human nature on matters with difference of opinion. We naturally look at others through the eye of our own position. And we have a tendency to assume that we're right and someone else who sees things differently than we do, it's human nature for us to assume they're wrong and I'm right. Where'd you come up with that? What's the source of that, Pastor? My own heart. That's where I came up with that. All of us are going to have to work hard on our own attitudes, words, and actions. You say, "I don't think it's going to be that bad." To that I say, if every one of us always walked in the Spirit, I'd have no cause for my concern. But I'll just admit to you, I don't always walk in the Spirit, do you? Thus my concern. I was reminded of those times that Paul, in his writings, even like we have looked at in Philippians, and I'm not in Philippians today, we have looked at, there were numerous times in Paul's letters, don't get me wrong, I'm not claiming the authority of the Apostle Paul, but the Spirit had led him to give some guidance from Scripture about certain issues that were taking place. For instance, even with the book of Philippians, he, on several occasions, made reference to the importance of them of being of one mind, one heart, one spirit. And having said that, I began to realize that, you know, with this concern of mine, there are some portions of Scripture that I think it would be good if we would reference this morning as far as what is ahead of us. I trust the Lord is going to bless our hearts as we try to move forward with a different landscape around here. And as a body of believers with different concerns and differing concerns about this unseen enemy. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to realize that not everybody has the same thoughts, fears, concerns, unconcern about this matter. My concern as shepherd of this flock is we need to make sure that we are considering others rather than ourselves. And that's what the thrust of this is going to be this morning. Having said that, turn with me to Ezra chapter 3. There was no COVID virus in Ezra's day, but there was a situation that I would like us to reference in Ezra chapter 3. As far as the context of this chapter, let me tell you what's taking place. Ezra was written, Ezra, what was the source of his life? The children of Israel, specifically the tribe of Judah, the southern kingdom, had been carried away captive by the Babylonians, and that's back in Daniel's day and so on. That captivity had lasted 70 years. When the Babylonians came and carried away captive all of those people 70 years previous to that, they had destroyed Solomon's temple. They had stripped that of value off of it. All of the gold shields and coverings. To the victor goes the spoil. So they destroyed the temple and they stripped it of all of its items of beauty and great value. And things had just sat there for 70 years. But where Ezra comes into the picture is he was one of those in captivity. And when the edict was given that the Jews could begin to return back to Jerusalem, after the 70 years was done, Ezra, you know, he returned, and the book of Ezra has to do with the rebuilding of the temple again. Nehemiah also, one who was a captive, his whole book is about the, at the same time, the rebuilding of the broken down walls. Ezra concentrated on rebuilding the temple. Nehemiah concentrated on getting security restored once again around the city of Jerusalem. The third chapter of Ezra, things have taken place, progress of those who had returned, and you see genealogy recorded, individuals' names in the previous chapters, who had returned out of captivity and so on, especially chapter 2 of Ezra. When you get to chapter 3, you discover the context is, notice if you pick up at verse 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set priests in their apparel with trumpets, Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. What's the context? The foundation stones for the new temple now have been laid. And that was a source of great rejoicing. We continue on with verse 11. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Picture it. It had been 70 years since they couldn't gather there around the temple in Jerusalem. But after 70 years, the destruction, and because of God's leading and direction, now they had witnessed the laying once again of the foundation stones, and God's people couldn't help themselves. They said, we want to praise the Lord. We want to rejoice. We're so thankful. Kind of like when you gathered this morning. We hadn't been able to have anything here for, we missed 8 Sundays. 8 Sundays. But we've come together today, and we've come with singing and rejoicing, and we're praising the Lord, and we look around, and I joked about it, but you know how good it looked to have the auditorium filled up with you all spaced out. We're here. But it's not the same, is it? Read on, verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, old folks, that had seen the first house of God, they had worshiped in Solomon's glorious temple. They had seen it like it used to be when the foundation of this house was laid. Before their eyes, what do we see? They wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. It was a common description of that. We would call that, it was a mixed what? It was a mixed blessing. They were glad for what God was doing, But those that remembered how it used to be, when you could go up and grab a hold of somebody's hand and shake hands, and you ladies like to greet each other with hugs. And now we're saying, not now. We can't do that right now. We've got an invisible enemy that's lurking out there somewhere, and we can't see it. We don't know. Yes, we're glad to be here, but in all honesty, it's just not quite the same. We're going to have to bear with one another in these days of transitioning, waiting. How long, Pastor, are we going to have these pews marked where we... I don't know. How long are you going to restrict only two people in the bathroom at once and have these containers of Clorox wipes and hand sanitizer here? And I wish I knew. I'm convinced that no one knows except our Lord. We have heard so many voices of experts in the last 2 months. I'm sick of them. I've come to realize, I heard probably when I was Amber's age, the definition of an expert is nothing but an unknown drip under pressure. X, that's the unknown. Spurt, it's an unknown drip under pressure. No one knows. And I know our human nature. Sometimes we think, ah, that's all just hogwash. And maybe it is. But this person sitting over here says, oh, I am so fearful. I hope it does. We are members one of another here in the body of Christ. And when one member suffers, what? All of us are going to suffer. And oh, how we need, like that one said, if there is a word that we need for this re-entrance into our world in the midst of this, it is grace. Extending grace to others that may see it differently than I do. And so, in verse 13 of Ezra, because it was this mixed blessing, some were weeping, some were rejoicing. Oh, what a day. It says, the people could not discern the noise of the shout from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. We all wish it could be, quote, like it used to be. Like it used to be. We need to be grateful for what we have right now. And that's the attitude that I think it's important for us. Not so much what I can't do, and this is ridiculous, and you got to be kidding me. We ought to be thankful for what we've got. And let's go with that. Second reference is Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. The book of Joshua, of course. What's the context? Moses died at the end of Deuteronomy and was buried by the Lord. And after the period of mourning, the new leader was Joshua. That had been taken care of while Moses was still alive. The Lord had told Moses, Joshua is going to lead these people on into the promised land. So, chapter 3, we begin the record of the children of Israel were making plans, preparations. The Lord had said, now's the time. Now you can, it's time for you to go into the promised land. And the day came, and we find that the children of Israel had set up camp right along the Jordan River. You know, that was the first obstacle. The Jordan River, they had to cross that, which, by the way, was kind of like the Huron River. I keep getting the last few days in my cell phone a real flood threat. And they're saying maybe up to 2 more inches of rain today. And it says that the Jordan had overflowed its banks. It wasn't just a little mild-mannered trickle out there. It was a raging river overflowing its banks. And it was at that situation that God had said, now's time. Now's the time. So they were all camped right along the Jordan River. And on the day that they were set to move out, listen to what Joshua says. In verse 3, they commanded the people in Joshua 3:3. I don't think I told you what chapter. 3:3, they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place. Take your tent down, fold everything up, because when you see the priest bearing the ark, it's time to break camp and we're on the move. And you go after it. You follow them. They're going to show you the way. And you follow them. But notice verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. And here's the thought that was on my mind. For you have not passed this way heretofore. You have not passed this way heretofore. And the truth is, beloved, Hiawatha Bible Church has never faced what we are facing today. Never. And the truth is, well, we'll just open up our church and we'll just do like we always did. No. That's not what we're being told are the wise guidelines. We can't just assume that everything can be like it used to be. And Joshua told his people, you leave space between you and up here where the priests and the ark are. There's where you're going to get your direction. Don't just be rushing right up to them and say, well, we know what we're going to do. He said, no, you leave a space so that you can see what you're supposed to do. This is one of the reasons, beloved, why we, as leadership, decided not to just rush right into Sunday school, morning worship, toddler church, evening service, and prayer meeting. Yeah, we feel pretty unspiritual not having but one service a week, if that's what makes spirituality, by the number of services you have in a given week. But we're not rushing into it. We've taken the let's wait and see. As I told you, 1st of June, the men are going to be meeting and saying, okay, we've met for 3 weeks. What's happening not only here in our landscape, but what's happening in our country with this thing. What would wisdom dictate that we are, what might our next move be, and how soon, and how much? The bottom line is, we find ourselves, like the children of Israel, in a situation we've never faced anything like this before. We've never been here before. And that's what Joshua wanted to share with his people. Yeah, we'd like to move forward, but we need to be ready to be patient with others that are not comfortable moving forward as quickly as you might be. Sure, some of the things are an aggravation. They are a nuisance. They're a bother. But that's the way it is. And I don't have an answer for you. How long, Pastor? How long? I don't know. So for now, we have one service a week, and we're waiting, looking to the Lord for guidance regarding the future. Third passage of Scripture that I think is important for us is Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. If you're super spiritual, if I could call you that, that know your Scripture, you say, wait a minute. Romans chapter 14, that has to do with the law and freedom from the law and those that have perfect liberty in the Lord. I agree. Romans chapter 14, its context is different particulars, yes, but the principle taught in Romans 14 is definitely applicable for us. And in these verses, Paul taught that regardless of the position anyone took, care must be taken regarding thoughts, attitudes, and actions toward the person who differed from you. Now let's look at the verses that I have in mind. Romans 14, verse 3. Let him that eateth despise not him that eateth not. Let him that sees no problem with just kind of coming together and doing what we've always done, a shake, a hug. Let not that person despise or think less of or look down on the person who says, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not sure about that. I think I need a mask. I think I need rubber gloves. Well, I don't. Why do you? Well, that's what Paul is saying here. Yeah, it's a different particular. It's a different issue, but the principle. Here you've got people, same family, brothers and sisters in Christ, have difference of opinions. But the Lord says we need to be careful in our attitudes toward them. Let's continue on in verse 3. And let not him which eateth not judge him with that eateth. Let not the one that comes all buttoned up right to the top of your head with the mask and gloves and everything else, don't be looking down on the one who's walking around with no mask, with no gloves, and having ill thoughts toward them. Not everybody's on the same page here. But we need to consider others. for God hath received him. Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. And here is the thing. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And that's what I guess we have to say about this COVID-19. You're going to have to decide what you're comfortable with, period. But you're going to have to respect the person who isn't comfortable with the decision you've made. And you're going to have to honor that difference of opinion. Let's drop on down to verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Do within your power, I must do within my power to make sure how I'm responding to this is not an offense or a stumbling block to someone else. You say, that's tough. That's what I mean. That's the cause for my concern. Like I said, if every one of us 24/7 walked in the Spirit, there wouldn't be any problem with this. But I don't, and I don't think any of you do either. I know our old human natures. Mine is well and kicking inside of my chest. Verse 19. How are we supposed to do this? Fuss and grumble and complain about these signs that are on the pews and the bottles of hand sanitizer and everything else. Let's just make sure every time we come, I'm going to let everybody know I think this is ridiculous. Have a socially distance here. He says in verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? What's that word?
Peace.
And things wherewith we may edify one another. Finally, you might say the capstone on these three distant references, Ezra 3, Joshua 3, Romans 14, we kind of put the frosting on it. In Philippians 2, Philippians 2, verse 4, and we'll see another passage in 1 Corinthians 13. What's Corinthians 2, verse 4? Here's kind of the summary of everything we've tried to say. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There's how the landscape is around here right now, and that's the way it's going to have to be. If we're going to provide for things of peace and things that edify. We all know, we all have different opinions, but when we come together, let us not every man look on his own things. This isn't about you, and it isn't about me. But it's about everyone. Every man is to look on the things of others, not ourselves. That final reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and what's that the chapter of, by the way?
Love.
That's the love chapter. Love, verse 13:5 says, love does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not self sanctuary is not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. I trust you have received these thoughts with the spirit that I intended them to be. I set aside just one portion of scripture this morning. I felt that I needed to put legs on what I had set out on the email, my concern, and what I had shared with the men of the board last Monday night, my concern. We fleshed it out. I trust it will be a help and a blessing to each one. Let me close quoting that pastor that I started with earlier. Preserving valuable relationships is more important than winning arguments or being more right. Look, when this crisis begins to wind down, there will be plenty of people who got some things right. Plenty of people who got some things wrong. There will be those who blew things out of proportion. And there are going to be those who didn't take things as seriously as they should have. Some will take longer, and others are going to rush in. And here's a closing thought. What will it matter if we reassimilate only to end up socially distant again, not because of a virus, but because of our inability to love others who have approached this virus different than we do? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for principles whereby we could be led and instructed. I pray that your spirit will give your approval on our hearts. May each of us take this home. May we think on these things. May we not just toss them away. Lord, I'm going to need help with my attitude toward those who differ. And I'm sure each one here is going to need that same help from you toward those who differ. Grant us your grace to be loving, kind, long-suffering, patient with others. May we not mock and scoff at those who have a different position, but may we honor you as we work through this, looking for better days to come, fewer restrictions, less fear about this unseen virus enemy. May we truly glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen.